Acts chapter 9. If you're still turning pages, keep turning, but I'm going to go ahead and go. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was made known as Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Let's pray quickly. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have this evening to open your word. And Lord, we just pray that you would take this few minutes, Lord, and just give us something, give every person here something they could use specifically in regards to missions. In your name we pray. Amen. This account, of course, we know is the faithful men letting the, at that time, Saul to be the Apostle Paul, letting him down by the basket. And every preacher that has preached in the missions conference, everyone has heard this theme. I don't know how many conferences I've been in where the theme is holding the ropes for the missionaries. How many of you have ever heard that? Raise your hand. Be honest. Okay, yeah, look at all the hands. All right. So the truth is, it's pretty much overused. It's almost cliche, but it's a good illustration. It really is. And you can preach on many things. You can talk about the men holding the ropes. You can talk about the basket. Buy one. Yeah, he's backslidden. He's leaving right now. No, I'm sure he has to get to work or something. I'm just kidding. But you can talk about all these different aspects of this story, of this event. But if I could just do this, and I want to use this just to kind of jump off, and that's why preachers like this, because pastors, you can use this and address almost anything going on in your church, right? You can make, okay, we're going to talk about the basket. The basket is you being in your place. You can do all kinds of things with it. But I'll just let me give you briefly just three things. I'm going to just look at, you know, three different ropes. I have this written down here somewhere. Three different ropes that you hold. And by the way, you have to hold them. I can't. I can't hold my own rope. That's a little awkward, and you just fall down the wall. The New Testament Baptist Church, they're the ones that have to hold the ropes. And as far as ropes, let me just give you three quickly. First one, we get out of the way because it's the one people do not like talking about, but it's the rope of finances. And generally, that'll be the whole message. People talk about the rope of finances. Now, don't misquote me. Take this in the proper context. For any kind of mature believer, the rope of finances, that's the easiest rope to hold. Okay? Because we already understand the grace of giving. If you've been saved for any period of time, you've heard messages on giving, you understand it's not the pastor trying to milk every last sin out of you. It's God's way of God doing his business that he's given us clear back to the Old Testament. This thing of giving of the tithes, and then you have the offerings. And so usually when we're talking about missions giving, that's not in the tithes. Tithes belong to the Lord. That's in the church. But the offerings, that is another way for us to do some of God's work. In this context, we're talking, of course, about missions. But I'll say this, that honestly is the easiest rope to hold. I'm not saying it's easy to earn money. I'm not saying it's easy to come by those finances. I know there's times when, you know, there'll be a problem and you'll have to find new work. Or maybe you're, you know, we have family members now, they're on fixed income. And that's a whole realm that I don't even understand because I haven't lived through it. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like at all. I have no idea. But I'm talking about physically what it takes for us to hold these ropes. Honestly, the giving of finances to God's work and missions is really fairly easy. I mean, the hardest it gets for us to give to missions is that we have to actually go through the act of taking out a checkbook, writing it out, and putting. Now, who here tonight has a checkbook? Just raise your hand if you actually have a checkbook. Okay, you guys win by far. I'm not kidding you. The average congregation that we're in, if there's 300 people there and I ask that question about who has a checkbook, I'll get maybe five, maybe six. People just don't. And, you know, we're up in the Seattle area. Don't you guys, where's my phone? That's how you guys pay your tithes, isn't it? You go to your Galilee Baptist app, and you just hit that, and it automatically draws it out. That's what churches are doing now. Everybody's giving through text messaging and through their church donor app. I mean, that's what everybody does. Nobody puts anything in the offering plate hardly anymore in the majority of churches, honestly, unless there's a love offering, and then the pastor is for 3 weeks preparing the people. Don't forget to, you know, bring this thing we call cash. You guys remember that? It's not the plastic thing. Don't put the plastic thing. We can't use that. You know, you can't do your watch or your Q code or whatever on your phone. You can't do iPay in the offering plate. So the pastor has to prep people for about 3 weeks so that when they have a love offering for the guest speaker, you know, it's actually full of something besides IOUs. Okay, now that's reality. That's what we live in. But what I'm saying is the actual act of giving those funds, it's not that hard anymore. The most work we'll go through is to write out a check. Now, that doesn't mean it's not important. It doesn't take away from the importance of it. But I'm just saying, if we're honest with ourselves, the amount of effort and work it requires for us to do that is like right next to zero. I'm totally lazy about it. I call the mission once a year when my church has their missions conference. I don't even call. I'll send a text to the business office. They'll adjust our missions giving like we want, and I'm done. You say, well, what else do you do for the rest of the year? Nothing. I don't do a thing. They do it at I haven't seen in four years a tithe check. In 4 years, I haven't seen a missions check. Why? It's all done automatically. So I'm uber lazy when it comes to this thing about giving, because I don't have to lift a finger to do anything other than send a text once a year. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking away from the importance of it. I'm talking about how much time do you spend out of the week giving to missions? A minute, 30 seconds? And that's just because you have to ask your wife for the checkbook before you write. Okay, we don't spend any time doing that. But the next rope I'm going to give you, again, very quickly, is the rope of prayer. Now, that's the total opposite. Because to pray for your missionaries, that takes time. That does take work. That takes effort. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, effectual fervent. That means it's not just passing. Lord, thank you for this food that you've given us. Please bless all the missionaries. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about for praying for your missionaries. I mean, when you actually know what's going on, and we've had good questions here, so obviously people here are in tune to this to a degree. When you actually know what's going on in their lives and you're praying specifically for their needs. Real prayer, effectual fervent prayer is personal, by the way. It's not like when you're 4 years old. Lord, please, it's so funny when you listen to little children pray that grow up in Christian homes. I can't remember which one of it was, but one of our little ones would say, you used to pray this way. They'd say, Lord, pray that everybody in the world would get saved and all the sick people would get better. Now, great prayer for a little child. We understand that. But that's not real personal. Okay. When my wife was having a heart attack, I did not pray and say, Lord, please be with everybody that's having a heart problem right now. Well, no, of course not. Why? It's personal. Well, that's really the kind of prayer we need. The effectual fervent prayer, that is what availeth much. That is what helps your missionaries stay on the field. Because again, like I said this morning, sometimes your tank is empty. And the only reason you keep going is because you're getting a little added grace. Well, where does that come from? Saints back in the States praying for us. Maybe even our own church members there in Russia. That's where that comes from. Prayer is not an easy rope to hold. Different kinds of prayer. How to pray for your missionaries. Protection, preservation, for the Lord to give us a vision. Sometimes we really need a vision when all we can see is a dead wall. We just see a wall. There's no way we're going to get through it. What are we going to do next? Well, we need the Lord to help us to have a vision for how we can reach the people where we're at. Another thing, wisdom and understanding. You know, we're in an area where we're dealing with a people that honestly, as far as independent fundamental Baptist preaching and churches, is not something that's been there for a long time. And to be able to reach those people, we have to have some wisdom and understanding that we just can't come up with on our own. By the way, if we can come up with on our own, it's just a technique. It's just a method. That's not the kind of wisdom from God. We need wisdom and understanding from God, the stuff that we can't figure out, okay? That's something your missionaries need prayer for. Another one I would say is the rope of stability. And this is maybe a little strange, but if you think about it, missionaries, as we live in a foreign field, the only thing we hear about what's going on back home is like I mentioned this morning. It's the same thing that the Russian national, the average Russian guy where we live, he'll say, yeah, I heard your whole country's doing this. Whoa, wait a minute. No, we're not. Yeah, well, they said on the news, and it wasn't our news. It was the American news, that CNN, and they said that all of America is behind this movement. No, we're not. But how else are they going to know? What alternative information are they going to have? They don't. They don't have one. They don't have one at all. And so that perception of what we are comes from what they see, as I said this morning, what they see on CNN and what they see in Hollywood, and sometimes from the music that we send over there as well. But having said that, it's nice as a missionary to know that there are churches standing for what's right back in the States. And I'm not talking about a social gospel and everybody going out and protesting, but men just standing in the pulpit, and even when they're threatening, oh, we're going to prosecute you if you preach this, or we're going to come after you in some radical county somewhere. We're going to come after you if you guys keep preaching this. For men to get in the pulpit and say, we don't care what you say, we're going to stick by the word of God. And that's what is comforting, believe it or not. That is very comforting for missionaries. Because like I said this morning, all of the great mission works that went into the 1900s, that came out of the 1800s, again, as I said this morning, they all came out of what country? England. Find five good churches in the city of London. Try. Go ahead and try. Try to find five good churches in the city of London. You're going to be hard-pressed to do that. Very hard-pressed. There go we in this country if our pulpits don't start turning things around. There go we. That'll be us. And I hope that it is not said. I hope that we don't have the situation where all the missionaries that are all over the world all of a sudden find themselves in a situation where God calls us back to the United States to minister here, to try to get this country back to the principles, some of the founding principles that it was founded on. But those are three ropes I'll give you, and then just quickly, real quick, I'm going to give you this. How to better hold the ropes for your missionaries. I've given you three ropes. I could give you 100. But I just gave you three simple ones. But how can you better, more effectively hold those ropes? Real quickly. First thing I'll give you, I won't read it to you right now. You can look it up at home. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. This is Moses' commentary on why the children of Israel did not enter the promised land. Now understand, this is his commentary after 40 years. So he's had 40 years of talking to people, of going to people's tents for dinner and so on and so forth, and finding out, you know, hey, what was it? Why weren't you Joshua and Caleb? Why were you with the other guys? Why didn't you get behind God's promise and enter the promised land? Well, 40 years of these kind of conversations and 40 years of going through the wilderness, we have this recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27, 28. There's two key things that Moses points out there. He points out this: wherewithal should we enter in? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. Now, you look in that scripture, you're going to find something interesting. You know where they discouraged their hearts? It tells us right there. In our tents. The damage done to the children of Israel to where they did not enter the promised land was not done in the assembly. The problem was in the homes. It was in the homes. And as you look at our country right now, and what is going on, some of the ridiculousness that's going on, so many of the attacks on our Christian culture are direct attacks on the home. Because if you have a Christian home, you're going to have a Christian church. Then you're going to have a Christian nation. Because if all the politicians grew up in Sunday school and church, guess what? They're not going to pass this ridiculous stuff that the devil is trying to shove down the throats of the people in our country. It all goes back to the home. It all goes back to the home. What can you do most to help us on the field? Take care of your home. Take care of your home. Take care of your kids. Take care of the grandkids. How many grandparents are the spiritual center and beacon for their grandchildren? Well, you know, if you messed up with your kids, or not messed up, but if it didn't work out with your kids, at least try to do whatever you can to influence your grandchildren. That's where we're at. That's where we're at in Russia. We have a number of people. Oh my goodness. We actually teach child rearing to people in their 60s and 70s. I'm not kidding. So they can influence their grandchildren. So their grandchildren will grow up in the precepts of the Lord. Because they didn't get saved until they were in their 50s. So it's too late for their own kids, per se. They reach their kids, but they know that that godly character that's instilled at a young age, it's too late for their own children. So we have women that, I mean, they just concentrate on their grandchildren. That is what you can do for us in the field, and how you can better hold the ropes is take care of your home. Some other things when we're done. Be faithful. Don't have the testimony of an empty seat. Have the testimony of an occupied seat. It's actually comforting when a pastor looks out like we had tonight. He's looking for somebody. He's like, what'd you do? You moved. Now, why is that? Because like with Saul, King Saul, he expected David to be in a specific seat, right? Now, I'm not preaching that you need to sit in the same place every time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the pastor is very, it is comforting to look out and know, okay, Steady Eddie's in his place. I mean, I hope there's nobody named Eddie here, but you know, you expect people to be in their place. And the testimony of an occupied seat is loud, but you know what? Honestly, the testimony of an empty seat is almost louder, unfortunately. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. Be faithful, be busy, be dependable, and be available. When pastor needs something, when the men of the church need something, be available. They say, well, it may not be to come up and give a testimony. It may not be to come up and give a word. They just need me to clean the toilets. Great, so there's your starting point. That's where God has you. Do that, and then maybe if God wants you to do something else, by the way, one is not more important than the other. It's just different. It's just different, but we need to be available. You do those things in this work, that will help us on the field. Why? If you're not strong, guess what? Then we can't be strong. If all the churches in America start giving up and don't stick to the stuff, what do you think is going to happen to the missionaries on the foreign field? They'll leave. They'll have to leave the field and come back. You can help us by being faithful here. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity you've given us. Lord, we do pray that everyone here would look at what you're allowing them to do in Russian, in missions, and not just finances, Lord, but just every part of this thing that is worldwide missions, and help each and every one of us to do what we can for the cause of Christ around the world. In your name we pray. Amen.